Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
The first chapter of the book of James. And you remember that James introduced himself as a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, of course, is the highest position to which humanity may attain, to be a servant of God and of His Son. James could have said, a brother of Jesus Christ. Yes, Mary was his mother. But then the highest position is that of servant. Isn't that what the Lord said when His disciples were discussing who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Oh, He said, he that would be first among you shall be servant of all. That really is the essence of Christianity, service. Giving your life motivated by love for the edification, the good, the upbuilding of others. That's Christianity. That's really what it's all about. Now, we learned also in this first chapter of James that the resistance to the temptations of life, powered by faith in Jesus Christ, builds stamina, steadfastness. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. And that word patience, steadfastness, to keep on keeping on when all things are contrary. It is a wonderful thing to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Make mistakes? Why, sure. Fall short? Oh, indeed. Room for growth always. And, of course, as we study God's Word, it is likened to physical sustenance. It's spiritual food for the soul. And we, as in our application of these matters, seek to emulate Christ, grow more and more like Him. Resisting temptation in the power of faith. Now, sometimes we don't understand this, and that's certainly characteristic of those who may not have matured sufficiently. Well, that's what the next verse is all about. If any man lack wisdom, that is, if he doesn't fully comprehend the basis of the development of spiritual strength in the resistance of the forces of Satan, you ask the Lord about it. If any man among you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Oh, no question. Just as a child of God, talk to your Father as you study His Word. And friend, the revelation is there. It's very simple. Nothing miraculous. It's just simply stated in terminology that you and I comprehend. Now, He said, let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like a surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Oh, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Always in your prayers, you are to be motivated by faith. I'm a child of God. Perfect? No. Make many mistakes? Oh, indeed. But a child of God, nonetheless, with sincere interest in the accomplishment of His Word. So then we ask in faith, nothing doubting. We learned also that the man that endures temptation will receive the crown of life. Isn't that what He said in verse 12? Blessed is he that endureth temptation, but when he hath been approved, he shall receive the crown of life. But it's an interesting thing also that here in the first chapter of James, we learn the source of evil. As a matter of fact, there in verse 13, he said, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God himself cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But each man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Oh, and the lust, when it hath conceived, beareth sin. Oh, and the sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. Oh, we've illustrated that. We understand that perfectly. Oh, what is the source of evil in my life, friend? It is a lack of controlling the inclinations, the desires, yea, the lusts of the flesh. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, I buffet my body and bring it under subjection, lest after having preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So it's so important that we keep the old physical man in subjection. Someone says, yeah, but that's impossible. No. When you apply these principles, then you understand who you are and the limits of physical relationships. That's what the instruction contained in God's Word is all about. Every scripture inspired of God is profitable for teaching, for instruction, etc. Ah, yes, everything I need is written in God's Word, then I need to read it and study it regularly and apply the principles to my life. But we also learn in James chapter 1 at verse 17 that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. Friends, that's wonderful beyond conception, and not many people comprehend, not too many people understand that every blessing is from the hand of God. We've often said, have we not, that we breathe His air? Sure. We drink His water. We eat His food. We wear His clothing. We walk on His footstool. Quite literally, we dwell in the hollow of His hand. Now, you think about it for a moment. You're born into this old world and rapidly grow older, and pretty soon we must pass. Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. Oh, but after this, the judgment. Then it is so important that I recognize from whence I came, who I am, upon whom I depend, and order my life by His instruction. Oh, that makes for happiness and joy and contentment and fulfillment. Friend, that anchors the soul with hope. There is no other source of hope because you're going to die. Somebody says, that's one of the saddest things. No. Philippians 1, verse 21. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, or to die is gain. Why, certainly. We noted that too, didn't we? Now, this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery, we all shall not sleep. Oh, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption. Oh, but when this mortal shall have put on immortality, this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58. It is so important that I focus properly in this life on who I really am, a physical being. Oh, that only lasts for a short time. And wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Ah, yes, everything here is temporary, but you and I, made in the image and the likeness of God, will live forever. That's so very important to know. But there's something else in the book of James. The Word of God provides for us eternal life, spiritual prosperity. We need to understand that. Who His own self begat us by the living Word, that we should be the first fruits of His creatures. If you'll read verse 18, for instance, right there in James chapter 1, of His own will begat He us by the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. And he continued, he said, now you know this, brethren, but let each man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Putting away, therefore, all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8 at verse 32. Oh, I remember he said in his prayer to the Father, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them in truth, thy word is truth. So then what is James telling me here? Well, friends, my relationship to the Almighty is secured through the information contained in the written, revealed, all-sufficient, totally authoritative revelation of God. Oh, for the Christian age, that's called the New Testament. Jesus died to validate, make authoritative this testament. So when I, in love, apply these principles to my life, that is the exercise of faith, and I walk thus in harmony with the Lord's will. Now, James continued. He said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Friend, that is a powerful statement right there in verse 20, 21. But what did you say, James? Of his own will begat he us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Oh, and it's by the word that we're brought into a right relationship with the Almighty. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. You know, sometimes, from time to time, I receive a statement that denies that man has any part in his salvation at all. No, it's altogether by the grace of God. Man doesn't do anything with a friend. You think about it. The grace of God hath appeared bringing salvation to all men. Titus 2, verse 11. Why, certainly. Somebody says, well, there it is. That's what I'm saying. Well, then why did Jesus say most men are lost? In Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, enter ye in at the narrow gate. For broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But narrow the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life everlasting, and few there be that find it. Wait a minute. Why are most men in the broad way that leads to eternal ruin, if indeed the grace of God hath appeared bringing salvation to all men? Friend, the context is always important. Listen to it again. Titus 2, 11, beginning. For the grace of God hath appeared bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good work. The grace of God hath appeared bringing salvation to all men. How so? Through a system of instruction. What is the instruction through which God's unmerited favor provides for human redemption? Romans 1. Verses 16 and 17, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Did you notice what that said? Not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to whom? Those who believe it. Well, now someone says, all you have to do is to believe, and you'll be saved. Listen to what the Scripture is saying. You see, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing of the Word of God, not by human opinion. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Well, what would the believer have to do with the gospel to be saved? By 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 beginning, he'll come with his holy angels in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. What? Oh, he'll render vengeance to them that know not God. How may I know God so as to escape this vengeance? Oh, 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4. John said, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, while he keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. You can't make language any clearer than that. And John is the apostle of love. He wants you to understand the only means of human redemption is by the grace of God Almighty. Or his grace supplied the instruction through which I can stand in a right relationship with him. I need to understand, well, back to James. What did he say there, verse 21? Well, he said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Oh, listen to him. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. He beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Isn't that something? You've looked in a mirror a few times, haven't you? What was it Paul said about comparing ourselves with ourselves, numbering ourselves by ourselves? Oh, he said, we're without understanding. And if we get away from the Word of God, that's what we do. Oh, hey, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't bear false witness. Hey, I love my wife. Oh, I treat my children right. I treat my neighbor. Hey. That's fine. Are you doing what the Lord said? You see, this is the mirror of the soul. Whoso looketh unto the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. That's demonstrated throughout the Word of God, isn't it? Old and New Testaments, no question. What did you say, James, chapter 1, verse 21? Oh, be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only. You know, it's interesting, when the Lord, about to ascend to the right hand of the Father after His resurrection, commissioned His apostles. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Oh, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. If the grace of God provides salvation for all men, why preach the gospel? You see, God could handle it any way he wanted to. I mean, that's putting a lot of burden on these fellows, and all of them but one died the death of martyrdom for preaching the gospel. Oh, that's essential. Didn't Paul say that? In Romans chapter 10, verse 12, he said there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. No, no. Same Lord and Lord of all is rich toward all who call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What is He saying? The Lord commissions His apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When men hear it, they either believe it or disbelieve it. Oh, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, of course, shall be condemned. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now someone says, yeah, but preacher, that thing of baptism, I mean, being dipped in the water, that has not... Oh, forget it. No, you need to go fishing. Better still, you need to read God's word and understand that salvation is by faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. Oh, that's why God clothed the terms of salvation in terminology that would appear foolish to highly intelligent men. That's why Paul wrote what he did in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, isn't it? Sure, the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. To whom is the word of God foolishness? Those who are going to perish. They will be eternally separated from God in the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? They didn't walk by faith. No, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But why would God clothe the terms or conditions of salvation in terminology that appears foolish to man? Oh, verse 29, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that no flesh should glory before God. You see, when you're saved, you're going to give credit to God. Like old Naaman, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, leprosy. Oh, terrible, incurable disease. Go down and wash seven times in the River Jordan, you'll be clean. What would washing in the River Jordan have to do with cleansing a person from leprosy? Nothing. Well, why would you do it? God Almighty said to. Oh, now when he did what God said, he was cleansed from leprosy. Isn't that great? Well, somebody says there's no connection between dipped in the Jordan and being cured of leprosy. No. Salvation is by faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, Joshua, you remember, Joshua chapter 6. He wanted the city of Jericho, high wall, well fortified, armed to the teeth. God said, form your men, and he gave the order. And he said, march around that city one time each day for 6 days. On the seventh day, march around seven times, and let the priest blow long on the ram's horns, and the people give a great shout, and the walls will fall down flat, and every man will go up before him. Who ever heard of such? What the very idea. What did Joshua do? He just did what God said. Oh, they took the city without the loss of a single man. Isn't that remarkable? Well, that's called faith. You just do what God said. Isn't that the Hebrew writer's statement? Hebrews 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed about for 7 days. Throughout the New Testament, you will observe this very thing. The apostles, of course, filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, preached the gospel. Peter's sermon is recorded, death, burial, resurrection, the ascension and coronation of Jesus Christ on David's throne at God's right hand, reigning over spiritual Israel. Yes, but his Jewish auditors were cut to the heart. Well, they said in verse 37, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for, that's unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why do that? Salvation is by faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And throughout the book, friend, it's self-evident. What did you say, James? Chapter 1, verse 21. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto one man beholding his natural face in a mirror. He beholdeth himself, goeth away straightway, forgetteth what manner of man he was. Oh, but whoso looketh unto the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Well, that's what faith is all about, isn't it? You know, if you went on over to James chapter 2 at verse 14, he said, what doth it profit, my brethren, if one say he has faith and there's no works involved? Well, that wouldn't be of any... For instance, he illustrates it, doesn't he? He said, if one be destitute and lack of daily food, and one say unto him, go thy way, be warmed and filled, and yet he giveth him not the things needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. Well, the very idea. Man say, I have faith, no works, forget it. It doesn't work that way. Faith makes itself manifest in simply doing what God said. How is it called faith? I don't fully comprehend. I don't understand why God ordered certain things to be done, but I do know that when I do that, it's called faith. Well, then I put my trust in the Lord. Why, certainly. You wouldn't do a fellow any good. He's naked and destitute of daily food. He's starving. And you say, hey, go thy way, be you warmed and filled, and you give him not the things needful to the body. Well, that's exactly like faith without works. It is of no value at all. Unless you do what God said, you will not be recipient of the promises predicated upon that action. We understand that. Want to be saved from sin? Oh, listen to it again. He that believeth what? The good news, the gospel. Oh, and is baptized shall be saved. That's like 1, 2, 3, or ABC. It couldn't be misunderstood. And of course, he that believeth not shall be condemned. We understand that. So then, saving faith makes itself manifest in my compliance with the Lord's instruction. Well, that's what he said. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Yes, man has a part in his salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith, Paul told the Ephesians. We understand that. Faith is man's part. Oh, faith appropriates the benefits supplied by the grace of God. He does it in obedience to the Lord's will. May God bless.